It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the Fightin'. It's the Fightin'. Clock. It's the Fightin'. It's the Fightin'. Clock.
A camel turnin'.
It's episode 65, season 10 of the Fighting Con podcast, joined online by Ricky and Felonious Phil. How are you doing, boys?
What's that?
Good. All right, I'm fine.
Are you happy just generally in your life?
I'm all right.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, T? There's got to be more to it than that.
I've just hungover.
You are hungover.
I've not been hungover all year. I don't really drink like that anymore. Why
are you hungover?
Because I went to Tottenham on Saturday, met a few of my friends and had a little nosy at the protest. So I'll probably fill you guys in on that a little later on.
Not a nose good. Up? There's a significant difference.
What do you mean?
You had a nosy, you didn't have a nose up. That's what I'm saying. I'm asking, did you?
What does nose up mean?
Just shoveling loads of Primo Mozam up your nose.
I wish, but not last Saturday.
Okay, good. We are going to come on to the process. Before we got to do that, Ricky, you've got a little... this is something you came up with, and I love it. I absolutely love the idea. So just tell us a bit more about what you've come up with and what we're talking about right now.
So basically, if you're on Instagram, go over to The Fighting Cock. You'll find us. You'll see the blue logo. Come give us a follow. And the very first post that you'll see will be, it's a blue graphic, and it's called Why I'm Tottenham. So that's going to be the hashtag Why I'm Tottenham. And it's, we're trying to kind of document people's journeys on how they became a Spurs fan. Yeah. So all you need to do is you need to post a photo or a video. You need to use the hashtag Why I'm Tottenham, and you need to @ The Fighting Cock. And then give us a little write-up about how you found our great club and what it was your journey. So there's like loads of people where their older brother forced them to support Tottenham. Like myself, it's in my family, runs in our blood. That's why I support Tottenham. And there are other people that have got some really quirky stories out there about how they found the club. And we just want to document it on Instagram. So I just want to say a big shout out to Phil Mayo, EU5000, and Alan Faulkner, because they've got their posts up already and they've got some quality stories in there. And
so when they send their posts in, their stories in, how are they going to be displayed? What are we going to do with them?
So what we're going to do is every Friday, we're going to pick the best ones and we're going to regram them and feature them on the Fighting Cock's Instagram account. So yeah. You'll have your little stories up there, and loads of people will see it.
Don't say have your little stories up there. Some of them are quite significant, right, Rick? Your little story. Well, okay. Have your little stories there. Do you remember when you lost your virginity? Let's have a little chat about when you lost your virginity. It's not that, is it?
Well, yeah, that's quite significant if you lose your virginity and you're posting it on Instagram.
Would you right now?
No.
I can't think of what... If I was posting my virginity, it would be like... I had sex with the bird twice, and I told her previously that I'd had sex with two other women. And I remember her reaction was, "Is that it?" We won't do that to you on Instagram. But you found Tottenham in a different way to us, because we had our parents and mates and whatever around you. You came to find Tottenham in a different way, didn't you?
Yeah, a bit more arbitrary. Just liked Glenn Hoddle and how he played. I liked the kits and I liked the team name. You know, I was 9 years old at this time. It's Hoddle's last season at Spurs, and I just fell in love with them ever since. You know, me being contrary as I am now, didn't support Liverpool, who the big, most successful club at the time. And also my brother supported Liverpool, but he never forced me to support Liverpool, so I went for a London team. And
how much older was your brother than you? Because could he have forced you? Could he have done
that? Yes, 14 years older.
So he could have done. He could have put you in an armbar.
Easy, yeah. And I wouldn't have tapped either, so I would have had one arm.
my foundations in Tottenham is, my parents, my brothers... Well, not my parents, my mum doesn't give a solitary fuck. If she supported anyone, it'd be Birmingham City. So that's how irrelevant my mum was in terms of my foundations in football. But my dad, you know, it was like the be-all and end-all was Tottenham. But when I was a kid growing up, there was nothing else of significance other than the, just the general sort of living inside of a house in a working class family in North London. But other than that, the most important thing was Spurs. And it's interesting to talk about and to talk to other people about it. And that's why I really rate this, what you're doing, Rick, because
nice one.
It's a fantastic thing to find out how people follow our lovely football club. So if they can do, if they approach us on Instagram, hashtag Why I'm Tottenham, Fridays, we post that shit out, right?
Yeah, mate. Yeah. So all you got, yeah, just if you want to go and have a look closer, yeah, just head over to our Instagram and it'll be the blue. There's a blue graphic that says we want your journeys and the hashtag why I'm Tottenham. And you can read under there how you can get involved or just click on the hashtag and read other people's stories as well. Easy.
We've got a little video coming out as well, Rick, haven't we?
Yeah, mate.
So Ricky's into social media and I don't understand it as well as he does. But we're currently having a little argument about when it should come out. So should it come out tomorrow or Wednesday? You say Wednesday, right?
I would say Wednesday, game day. I didn't know. Are we having an argument? I haven't checked my WhatsApp.
I've been punching my phone. I've not been posting anything, just been punching my phone thinking, what? Is this, who's he mucking? Are you mucking me off? That's what I felt. there's no arguments at all. But we are putting out a what we think is a good video that sort of picks up on what it's been like not being able to follow our club in the flesh, like going to the games, being with your mates. So it's 50 seconds long. If you want to check it out, have a look on Love the Shirt, and hopefully it resonates. Anyway, T, you went down to Tottenham on Saturday. We'd all planned to meet up there, but various reasons, not all of us could end up going there. But what did you make of the protests in White Hart Lane on Tottenham High Road?
I got there about an hour after it started. So
brilliant.
It was just... I was at a vantage point. So I wasn't like in and amongst it. So, and you know, they're singing a few songs. You know, just making themselves seen and heard. You know, I mean, there's loads of banners, you know, anti-Levy, anti-Enoch banners about
as you'd expect.
I don't think it was. I don't think it was that well organized. I don't think they'll, you know, be offended by me necessarily saying that. But one thing I just want to stress, you know, if any of the leaders of the protesters are listening, is, you know, just don't give up, and you've just really, really got to keep it going, because the whole Enoch and Levy out discussion has been something that's been talked about for the last 8-9 years, and it took that long to get the first protest. So the first protest ain't going to be perfect, but I think they've just got to mobilise themselves properly, whether it be through a website or a WhatsApp or a Telegram group, and arrange things in a better way. But so go on.
Do you align yourselves with? The problem is that I was about to ask you whether you aligned yourself with them with what they wanted to happen at the club, and that's a difficult question to answer, because it didn't seem like there was a definitive point that they were trying to make. It was like is it about ESL? Is it about them not spending money? Is it the fact that they sacked Pochettino and brought in Jose Mourinho? I get there's a lot of anger and frustration around the club, but what was the common cause that brought them there? I'm not asking you to answer that, T, obviously, because that's something that may come out to be in the future. And like you say, it's just the first step.
It's a litany of things, really. Probably, if you're not backing a succession of managers, I guess the demise of Mourinho has a small element of Levy not backing him to get that defender that he wanted. Two transfer windows of no signing, the highest season ticket prices in the country, Darude Sandstorm, which I think is a banger, but it made a banner, so some people weren't happy about that.
What is that?
You know the music after we score?
Yeah.
Someone put that on the banner as the stuff that Levy's done, Levy's rap sheet.
Yeah, but this is... I get the humour in that, but this is something the players asked for.
I know, but it's a joke, isn't it? It's clearly a joke. So, I think they do need to be more clear about their aims and their actual targets, I'd say. But so this is the first one. This is the first step, and you know they've just got to keep going. They've just got to try and, as I said, they've got to have a focal point, whether it be, it can't just be a hashtag on Twitter. It's got to be, whether it be a website or something, just to try and have a central focal point. And you know, next time it'll be bigger and better. But I've got to big up all the people who are there. As I said, there's been so much talk for all these years, and now there's something kind of tangible. There's a lot of talk about the privilege. You know, in London, or in general, we're quite privileged in terms, you know, there's no wars. You know, we all have fairly cushy jobs. We all, a lot of us probably earn above the national average. Nothing to really be upset about. And I guess people see that as a stick to beat them with, you know, that you've got so much privilege. Why are you trying to protest for? But it's become some people's personalities on Twitter, to be fair, hating Levy. So the fact that there are protests, you know, hopefully it'll keep going and it'll mobilise and it'll grow into something.
Well, that was one of the things that, and I agree, like, just for the record, as I said previously when we did a podcast with Billy, that if Spurs fans or even a segment of Spurs fans, not taking, you know, across the board all Spurs fans, but if there are a segment of Spurs fans are unhappy with what's going on, then do something. That's always been, like, something that I've always been frustrated, like people moaning about Enoch and moaning about a lack of signings or moaning about whatever it might be, you know, youth development, whatever it is. It's fine moaning about it, but you're not doing anything. And the people that turned up there on Saturday were doing something. Like, whether I agree with them or not, I don't actually think currently that removing Enoch would be for the betterment of our football club. I think it would damage us over 4 or 5 years and probably beyond, unless someone comes in with with huge amounts of money and a gung-ho attitude, which is like asking for the fairy godmother to come along. So I'm in that situation where I don't necessarily agree with the sentiment of the protest, and the sentiment of the protests are quite nebulous. You don't quite know what they're protesting for, but I appreciate and support 100% their right to stand up against the regime at the football club and have their voice heard. I do. Like, I'd rather them have that option and being able to do that without the ridicule of fellow fans, which I found really uncomfortable. Really uncomfortable. As fellow fans, like there's one thing supporting Levy and Enoch. There's another thing ridiculing and chastising your fellow supporters for being unhappy with the way the football club is run. There it isn't a binary thing. It's not one's right and one's wrong. You have to respect if someone takes the time out of their life to go to somewhere else and stand up and say, I'm not happy. Even if they do it the wrong way, even if they chant stuff that's going to alienate opinion, you have to look beyond that and look at what they're doing and thinking, actually, no, they've turned up. They've gone to the stadium. They've demonstrated and they've made their voice heard and whatever that means. And you have to respect that. Just sitting back and doing nothing and looking down your nose and being pious is pathetic, in my opinion. Anyway, Rick, what did you make of the protest? What's your position currently?
I think a lot of the air of people was that we've won one trophy in 20 years, and I think kind of like T said, there's loads of things that play into that. There's not providing Mourinho with a defender that he wanted. There is not, you know, for Poch, he had 2 seasons of not buying anyone. There's also people are rightfully, like, looking over at Leicester, and, you know, they sold Maguire and they got that money and reinvested it into their squad and bought younger players and, you know, young talent as well. And now they've won an FA Cup, and I think it's and they're on the cusp of Champions League, and we're not doing either of those things. So there's a lot of hurt from, obviously, that we're normally the butt end of jokes about trophies and stuff like that. And for me, I kind of agree with you in saying that if we removed Enoch, there isn't anything in place or we know of the buyer that's going to come in and be gung-ho and slap down shitloads of money. But what I do feel that maybe a director of football or something might help the situation, whether it's Levy saying to this director of football, right, you've got 100 mil, that's all you've got to go and find your players. And it's down to that person to then say, actually, we do want to fuck 70 million of this on one defender and not have Levy trying to lead the negotiations and stuff like that, because I know it's only rumours and you can only go what people say and papers say and stuff like that. But for, like, Bruno Fernandes is a key one that he basically signed for Tottenham and we were fucking around with money. Another one, Jack Grealish. I had the chance that we, you know, have the chance to sign Tielemans. There's loads of different players, but I just wish that we would have paid over the value. If we paid $5 million more just to get that transfer done and dusted, sorted, and not been back and forth with whatever, just if someone's given the money, somebody else, not Levy, and it's to kind of can go out and get the players that the manager wants and they all agree and they think will be the best fit for the team, then that needs to happen, man. You can't, you know, just let the people with the most experience in football terms do what they need to do and let Levy concentrate on the operational side and revenue streams and this, that and the other.
I agree. 100%.
Ricky, you've got Ricky. You hate Lo Celso and Lamelo and there's extra money put in on those two.
Yeah, from Bale and the money we didn't spend on Fernandes to Lo Celso.
I would say the recruitment strategy then. I would say, what's his name? He was in...
Baldini.
Was it Baldini?
Baldini for Lamella, yeah.
But the thing is that people weren't out there protesting against... what everything you've just said is stuff that can happen and should happen without the need to protest. And the fact that that stuff hasn't happened is, in a way, a need to protest in the same instance. But people weren't out there protesting the fact that we don't have a director of football, were they? They were protesting something more seismic and huge. They wanted Daniel Levy out. Yeah, I know. Yeah, but maybe this is an element to why they're so unhappy. But the people there, and there are a lot of people out there, just want Daniel Levy and Enoch away from the football club.
It's one of those. I mean, Billy said himself on the pod that, look, even if Levy and Enoch don't leave the club, if they're prepared to have, they're not going to have a dialogue with me, a bloke at a podcast, but anything like that. But if Levy's prepared to, like, say, you know what, the approach didn't work, and as Ricky eloquently laid out, put the money in the hands of someone else,
yeah,
and let them do the decision and improve the recruitment all around, and the process has done its job. Because, again, I think Leicester are going to be a recurring theme on this podcast, but get people like Madison, James Justin, all these affordable players that we could have. And it just feels frustrating that our recruitment has seemed so muddled and the legend of Levy kind of cast a large shadow over all that.
I think the acquisition of Jose Mourinho cast a large shadow as well.
Cause... That was a gamble and it didn't work.
Yeah, but a gamble I think most of us would have taken when he took over. And that's the thing, is that if you'd have taken Brendan Rodgers, if he would have said, actually, we're going to go after Brendan Rodgers. I know he was at Leicester at the time, I think. Pretty sure he was. Leicester City at the time. Or if he was available. If all of us had to choose between one or two, Brendan Rodgers coming from Celtic or Jose Mourinho had guaranteed trophies everywhere we went, all of us would have said Jose Mourinho. So this previous period of 17 months where we've been buying players that aren't as good as Leicester's players that they've bought, like Madison, Justin, before in replacing, buying Ndidi to replace Kante. Okay. All those wonderful, scouting appointments, which Ricky pointed out in terms of our lack of ability to scout the correct appointments, or the correct players. But if you've got a manager like Jose Mourinho, you're just going to bank on him and see what he can do. What we probably should have done in hindsight, which is a beautiful thing, is get someone like Brendan Rodgers and just let him pick the players he wants and go forth. I guess what we're coming back to, and it all feels like we're circling back to this point, is that is Daniel Levy going to be able to bring in a director of football that he just lets go, that gives him a budget, or a manager that he gives a budget and just goes, do what you want? And it seems, and I think that's what what I picked up from your points there, Rick, was that maybe that's the biggest issue, that he's not going to be able to stand back as a chairman who doesn't, he understands business, but he can't understand football in the way that the managers he employs does. You remember that thing where that little city, and it doesn't mean much, but from All or Nothing, when he was, it was just after we beat Burnley 5-0 and Heung-min scored that goal where he ran the length of the pitch, blinding goal, yeah. Right? And he sat down while Mourinho was having his Weetabix or whatever it was, and he went, "God, you see that goal yesterday?" He's like, "That's the conversation you have with a bloke in at work who doesn't understand football." Weren't it?
Yeah. It's quite Brent-esque, that was.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I see that goal yesterday. Love football.
What a goal from Sonny. What are you talking about? We all saw it. It's not like if me and you sat together every day at work, I would the last thing that would come out of my mouth as I sat down to you was, "See that goal that Sonny scored?" Are you? Of course you saw the fucking goal. Anyway, what do you make of the protests in terms of what will happen going forward? I know, T, you're hopeful that this is a step in forcing Spurs to be more responsible, and they've put out statements that might be aimed to appease, but you know, this might be an element of fan action that can cause Tottenham Hotspur and the owners to behave in a more responsible way. Are you hopeful of more active and more sort of buoyant fan base when it comes to making changes in our club?
I hope so. As I said, I just hope that they're not discouraged. Probably best not to try and, you know, fight battles on social media when people are slagging them off, because it's just a waste of time. You know, the nature of our support is never going to be fully united. You've got to have faith in what you're doing, and the support will build. The people will come. The people will turn up at the protest if you keep it going. And as I said, the biggest takeaway for me is just to try and find a focal point. And, you know, just have everything go through that. But no, I hope it's the first of many.
Tottenham Hotspur did play a game against Wolverhampton Wanderers this weekend.
Yeah.
First question from Dave Dawson. He says, "Why does Mason hate Ndombele, Rick?"
Oh, mate, I don't know what is...
Does he hate him?
I heard, like, the last few games he had a slight injury. I don't know whether it's just that he's got his tried and trusted, and that's the way that he wants to play. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think he hates him, but I just think that is the way he wants the team to play. I think he wants the team selection to be consistent. I think under Mourinho it was very chop and change, and for these last remaining games, keep it the same. Everyone build up some momentum and some kind of a bit of a relationship and connection, and how everyone interacts with each other, how they play with each other, and take it from there, really. But like a game like, you know, obviously like we said, in hindsight, when we played against Leeds, and Ndombele would have been a great player to have brought on a lot earlier. But that didn't happen until the last 10 minutes. And again, against Wolves, he was brought on last 10 minutes.
Do you think that Ndombele, that Ryan Mason, 29 years old, walks into the room and Ndombele was like, "I don't respect him"? Like, he
the
just looked at him
guy?
Who the fuck is this guy? I've already pied off Jose Mourinho. You think I'm going to respect you, Ryan? And he only refers to him as Ryan. I just think that Mason thinks and kind of has an idea about what we can put out and what gives us the best opportunity to win. And there will be other managers out there, and there will be ways of playing this Tottenham Hotspur team that involves Ndombele. But for Ryan Mason, he had, I don't know, what was it, 6 games towards the end of the season. And I feel like he's prioritised a front line of Bale, Kane, Son and Dele. And yeah, if you have those front line and maybe be a little bit more pragmatic in midfield, that he feels like this is his best opportunity to get the results he needs to leave the job with an elevated position than what he took it. And if it means that Ndombele isn't playing, then for Ryan Mason, it's not the end of the world. As fans of our club, we realise how good Ndombele is. But maybe, you know, playing him right now and developing him right now isn't the the forerunner of what we want to achieve towards the end of the season. We all want to see him play, but Ryan Mason, in his three home games, he's won convincingly, pretty much over 2.5 of those home games. So is he wrong to leave Ndombele out, T?
It's not based on the results, but when you're subbing on Harry Winks and Sissoko, you want to glass him, to be fair.
We won the game, and we weren't threatened after that happened. So, as a manager, he did the right thing, surely.
I've actually got some breaking news on the podcast.
Shit! What have you read on Twitter right now?
Harry Kane has told Tottenham he wants to leave this summer.
What's the source?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Football Daily, and they've announced it on Sky.
Football Daily?
They've got Sky. They said it on Sky Live on Sky Sports.
So if he wants to leave, he needs to put in a transfer request. Yeah. That's the reality. So whether he's announced it through an interview, that's irrelevant. If he wants to leave the football club, he has to put in a transfer request, or he's not leaving. And he's got 3 years left on his contract. He signed a ginormous deal that would be paying him sort of 200 grand a week. And if he wants to leave, then he has to put in a transfer request, which isn't going to be granted. So he's just got to suck it up. I'm not sure where we go.
No one can afford him.
From there, T. I'm not sure where we go from there. We've got still a whole podcast I'm talking about.
I want to hear the words come out of his mouth.
Where is Brain. This? Is this on Twitter? Is it?
That's on social media.
So is there how do we find this? I need to see it right now.
Just go on WhatsApp. It's there.
Is it a direct quote?
It's not a direct quote.
Breaking: Harry Kane has told he wants to leave. So it's just. Right, we'll see. We'll see what it is. We'll just carry on with the pod, shall we? Trophulus, I don't know what the fucking his name is. Which Spurs would you mind least getting caught kissing your daughter? Sorry, Dele Alli has already taken by Miss Guardiola. Fuck that. What do we do? If this is true that Harry Kane wants out, if it is true, how do we rebound from this point?
Get a decent director of football and buy a decent replacement.
I was about to say, get a director of football and spend the money wisely.
Exactly. You know, we're not going to replace him like for like, gold for gold, but you can spread the gold around the team if you buy wisely. You've said yourself on the pod, Flav, he was not going to be at Tottenham for his entire career. So this moment was always going to come.
Yeah, not in the middle of a fucking podcast as we record, for fuck's sake.
I was going to hold off saying that, but I had to.
Man, it's just not fucking... This has been hard enough this fucking season. Like, it's been fucked.
It's been horrible.
Why drop that news at this point? Like, why? Like, if it is true, like, why, like, go out to a media outlet and do that? Like, if genuinely that's what he's done, like, I'm genuinely fucked off with him.
We don't know.
You're right with it, yeah.
No, obviously. I'm not going to believe it's true, really. I'm just going to believe it's just yet another fucking soundbite that they have twisted, distorted, put spin on it, done whatever, and they're running it as news because he said something and he's been misquoted or whatever. I won't believe it until it actually happens. And the fact that, like you said, he's got 3 years on his contract, I very much doubt Levy's going to sell him to an English club unless they pay an incredible amount of money. And if they do, and then all parties are happy, then so be it. If he wants to go, then he wants to go. There's no point in keeping a player around that's unhappy. But, you know, this summer, we're going to have to find a manager to take us forward, and it would be without Harry Kane. But to be honest, I'm not even going to entertain it at the moment. I'm just going to treat it as trash talk as usual.
I can't believe I'd be amazed if like Football Daily got the interview and broke it. So I, I, I do some work with Sky, just some YouTube channel that they've got, and they talked about an interview that Harry Kane did with Gary Neville, and it's going to be released on the 26th. And they were really guarded about what was to come out of it. But I think what I garnered from it was that they were saying that it would be uncomfortable news for Tottenham fans, but it was ultimately about him talking to Daniel Levy. I can't see a world where it would benefit Harry Kane for him to come out and do this. Like, if it is true, I can't. Maybe you look through the recent performances. He's not looked happy, is he? T.
Can never really tell with him whether he looks happy. I don't like that whole body language stick, you know, because does it really mean anything? I just kind of wish I got a ticket for the Villa game now. If he has actually done this 2 games before the season's over, then it is poor form. But it does seem out of character for him to do that. I think the frustration of losing another cup final got to him, but at the same time, he's not scored any goals in those cup finals, and, you know, got a kind of player's part in winning us trophies too. You know, I'd be devastated if and when he does go.
What did you make of the Villa game then? How we performed? Like, I was a little bit anxious, like, during it. I was just hoping that we scored, because obviously the most important thing is finishing above Arsenal. And, you know, winning that game was all important, because if we win that and we beat Villa on Wednesday, then you're in a really good situation. Like, they can't catch us, basically. But did you have any trepidation during the game, Rick?
Yeah, mate, of course. That's all I'm thinking about at the moment. Just finish above those fucks. That is, do you know what, as well, like, there's apart from the game, there's been this a lot of chat between Gooners and Spurs fans of saying, you know, if we finish above them, no one really comes out of this smelling of roses. We've both had a shit season. We've both da 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 da. Fuck you, mate. We finished above you. I am taking that. That is the most best bit that's come out of this stinking season. So if we do finish above them, then I'm going to lord it up over them. I don't give a shit. So I just wanted to get that out there. If there's anyone out there saying, oh, we've both had a shit season, don't do anything. No, fuck that. Go at them. Go at their throats. Don't care. Right, back to the Wolves game. So, yeah, I think it was just... We started really well, you know. I thought normally where I'm a bit nervous, where we were passing it around in defence and around the back, we looked self-assured, we were comfortable, we were moving the ball really quickly, and we didn't, I mean, it didn't feel like Wolves were putting us under pressure. We had a bit of time, and then I think fairly early doors, was it? I think it was Lo Celso he won the ball high up the pitch, put it to Højbjerg, he put it to Kane, and Kane had that shot and it hit the post from quite far out. And from then on, I was like, oh, winning the ball up, you know, high. And we managed to quickly on that turn and get a shot away, hit the post, looking good. And then for about half hour, we were all over them. They couldn't get out their half, and we were having chances, and we just looked like we were in the mood. So I was pretty positive that we would win. And then obviously, as it's coming towards the first end of the first half, I think there may have been another chance. I can't remember if the Kane header that was cleared off the line, and then Gio followed it up, that was cleared off the line again. I can't remember if that was the first half, but anyway, and then Kane scored right on the, you know, a final whistle of the first half, and that kind of getting it at that time, just after the whistle, it just made me feel like, it just made me feel that we were safe, because we were playing so well. And then we got that goal that we desperately need. And I just knew the second half we would kick on, and we certainly did.
Yeah, we did. It's almost pointless talking about this, because I'm looking on Twitter and it's all over the place. It's on Sky. It's everywhere.
Just close it down. Don't look at it.
Can't fucking, people are going to be listening to this podcast tomorrow. They won't give a shit about Wolves. No, Wolves doesn't matter right now, does it?
No, not really. Delhi had a good game.
He did. He could have placed Kane's goals. Imagine that.
Yeah, we need to do big business. Like, how does, like, if this is true, and it, I can't see a place where, I don't know how, like, what club will be able to buy Harry Kane? He's got 3 years left on his contract. What would it cost to buy him? Like, if Man City came in, and there is, I know financial fair play gets a lot of stick, but it still exists. Like, clubs still have to pay attention to it, and Man City have already had a fine, so they can't fall foul again. Daniel Levy's not going to want to let him go. So who's out there that can buy him without falling foul of financial fair play? And how much would it cost him to?
I don't know. I mean, one of the rumours I saw was that he had a conversation with Pochettino, so PSG could be one.
Okay, how much would it cost?
Salah as well. How much? Probably a minimum of 150.
So how can they do that? So, unless they're selling players, they can't. It just seems mad.
Probably give us a mishmash of shitty players like they've done in the past. I don't know what that does for Levy if Kane goes. I mean, it's not all his fault. No. Not all his fault, but it would not go well for him.
Can you understand Harry Kane's position, Rick?
Yeah, of course I can, man. I mean, he arguably, for me, has been the best striker for God knows how long. And I know there's like a lot of people that, you know, tout different players and stuff like that. But Kane is that talisman. He's that number nine. He is just like, I mean, when he picked up the ball against Wolves and he was that far out, as soon as he turned and he hit, you just knew it was going to get, it was like going to be on target. It was going to be in and it like hit the post. He's just so good. And for a player like Kane that we know that for many years, he's picked the team up by the scruff of the neck and just got us over the line like Bale used to do. And I think you get to a point where it's like, is this it? You know, is this what it's going to be for the rest of my playing career? Because I don't want it to be like this. I don't want it to always have to rely on me. I want there to be other leaders on the pitch. I don't want everyone to be, you know, all eyes on me. And even though he does get the goals and he's got a great haul this season, where are we? You know, we're sixth. We're nowhere near winning any trophies. I mean, I know, yeah, we're in the cup final, but we were played off the park, man. And you must feel that. I know there's this, you know, there's something within all of us because we're all Spurs fans, and to win it at a club that you support and stuff like that. But their career span is, you know, is short, and he's like, what is he, 27, 28? This is going to be, if he signs for someone now, this is going to be his last club, really.
I'm not ready to be philosophical just yet.
I know, but I mean, this is for him. It's his last throw of the dice, really. If he wants to get a trophy,
so he comes out and has made this statement through secondary sources. If it's correct, a fucking 2 days before fans are going to be in the stadium and watching him play.
Hey, like, I don't agree. Do it on
fucking Thursday.
I don't agree that this is obviously the best route to go, but I think it's I think it was you that was saying that who was it that you did an interview of a football agent or someone that works in football and said that, you know, if you think that players have any loyalty, you're sadly mistaken. Like, everyone has their price, and people will do anything and be advised by their agents of the best route to go, how it's leaked, when it's leaked, blah blah blah. Get the ball rolling. You're going off to the Euros at the end of what, you know, whatever it is. And it doesn't matter when it gets released. It doesn't matter, you know, if it's the end of the season, we've played all our games, and then Harry Kane comes out and says it, it's still going to break our hearts. And there isn't no perfect time to release this news, is there?
There's not a perfect time. Obviously, any time it comes out, it's going to be horrible to hear. But given the fact that there hasn't been a single fan in the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium for fucking a year, To drop this 2 days before it, it's a dickhead move, in my opinion. Like, fucking, just use your... You're a great footballer, but just fucking take a step back for a second. Just to... Don't shit on us for just Oh, fucking, I'm being emotional. I'm being emotional.
Maybe it got leaked, though. Maybe it got leaked. Maybe they didn't wait for it to come out.
Yeah, you're right, because this shit could take time, doesn't it?
And look, I'm sorry. I have to be philosophical, otherwise I'd have probably just logged off by now.
I know.
It's just... it was inevitable, and the timing is pretty bad, you know, because, you know, as for loyalty in football, Kane played for us the rest of his career and scored 2 goals a season. We'd fucking hate him. So, the loyalty is only as good as his performances are. So, and they're always really good. It's just a bit soul destroying that all the best players in the world play for 5 teams. You know, there's no spread. No, I mean, Matt Letizia is a bell end, but stories like that aren't really going to happen now. I mean, I guess you got Vardy. This day and age, if you're that good as Kane is, you're going to end up at one of the big dogs. And, you know, this season has just been fucking horrible. The only thing we've got going for us is that we're above Arsenal. But Leicester winning the FA Cup kind of reignited what could have been for us. And
Levy's got a lot of work to do, isn't he? If this is remotely true, and you know we've had this situation before with Modric, who you know didn't put in a transfer request, but sort of made it clear that he wanted to go, and he played another year and played really well. I think in terms of where Tottenham are and where we have Harry Kane under contract for 3 years, he would have to come out and kick his heels and say you need to let me go, which. Given the fact that he said he wants to play till he's 40, it means that he doesn't have to do that right now. If we can convince him to stay for another year, which I'm sure we would already have done, you know, because he wouldn't be coming out of this if it was the fact. You know, he has a lot of the work to do, Levy. He's got, if we lose Harry Kane this year and we have Ryan Mason taking us towards the end of the season, he's not only got to replace Harry Kane, which is, as we said, it's impossible to replace him man for man, but getting a manager in who has an idea that can usurp what Harry Kane does individually on the pitch and just have a system that gets us to a place where Leicester are, where they've won an FA Cup, where they've won a league previously, that you know, that perhaps that's an opportunity for Daniel Levy to prove who he is and what he wants for Spurs, because if we lose Harry Kane, don't get the right manager and don't make a good start next season, forget protests. It's going to be in the fucking stadium. It'll be horrendous for him. It'll be continuous.
Spurs and Spurs violence.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think they're black. Spurs and Spurs violence requires one person to feel one way and another person to feel the other way, and then there's Spurs in the middle. In this instance, I'm not sure how many people could back Daniel Levy if he's lost. He hasn't backed managers, and you know, we built a stadium and all that stuff, but it's easily forgotten and quickly forgotten. If he loses Harry Kane, he's got so much work to do.
I'm so naive, right? I'm like, you hear rumours of like Sonny going to sign a contract extension, and it's already done, and they don't want to come out of it because of, you know, what's been happening in the world and that amount of money and all that stuff. But in my mind, I'm like, yes, Sonny's like, Harry, are you going to stay? Are you? He's like, yeah, go on. Oh yeah, I'll sign the contract as well then. And like they've had a catch up that, you know, Sonny signed because he knows Kane's staying. But like, no, maybe
this is
not.
The thing that, like, I'm looking on Twitter, like people like Man United fans coming out going, oh yeah, let's sign Kane. Like they stumbled and bumbled their way to not signing Sancho. So what makes Man United fan think that they're going to come out of the traps, Glazer's going to come out of the traps and spend £150 million on Harry Kane when they've got Cavani just there? Like the only team out there, certainly in England, there's two teams, I think, and one would be horrendous. It would be Chelsea or Man City.
He ain't going
to
Chelsea.
Why? Because he's got some morals and dignity.
Nah, look, Levy wouldn't send him to Chelsea. No way.
Okay, so it's Manchester City.
Yeah, City or United.
United or PSG or one of the Spain giants. Not Liverpool. Get a bailout from the government.
I could deal with him going abroad. Like playing for another team against Spurs and like, fuck that, man. I know how much he's done for us, but I couldn't stomach that. I won't be one of these people clapping him on his return to White Hart Lane if he does leave. No chance. Not a single moment in hell would I do that.
Would you boo him?
No, obviously not.
would you throw a little burger in his direction?
No, it's not. It ain't that. It's not
hot
that
dog. Pie? Oh, really, really hot pie.
No, because that's vicious. Like, I don't understand where he's coming from. I understand why he'd want to leave. Like, I understand that he's an individual, like, and he's given us so much. Like, he's been the best striker we've ever seen, all of us, with our own eyes, at White Hart Lane. And probably, if you look at the amount of minutes you've seen any strikers, the best, very best. And he's given it all, and he's continued in this season where it's been so shit to be the best striker in the land. And he's top of the scoring charts as we stand. So, obviously, grateful for everything he's done. But the minute he leaves, I'm like, yeah, fuck that. I'm not being philosophical now. I don't know. Anyway, this has been like an immediate reaction to horrible news. And you're right to bring it up. Just wasn't ready for it. It's all.
Sorry.
No, you're right. You're right to do it. I've got nothing else to say. Let's just see.
Not like I'm upset, Flav.
You haven't upset me. Harry Kane's upset me. And Daniel Levy's upset me. You think the irony on Tottenham Twitter has been bad? I'm out of it. I'm out of Twitter. I'm not going on there. Not going nowhere. I'm reading all this shit. There's been 35,000 tweets since the news broke 10 minutes ago. Anyway, boys, I think that would do. Ricky, T, love you both.
You too.
And yeah, speak later. Bye.
Bye.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock.
A camel turnip.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.